I hope I can hold it together this morning after that. Before Easter, we were in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And Ephesians chapter 5 is a continuation on chapter 4. I think the kids are staying in here today. Is that correct? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the kids are staying in here today. Learn about the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 was a continuation on Ephesians chapter 4. Remember the first three chapters in Ephesians, Paul is trying to allow us to see ourselves through God's lenses. Paul spends the time trying to show us how we look according to God. We're no longer these injured, struggling people trying to get through life. But God sees us as those that have been accepted by our Lord and Savior. For those that have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, God sees us as completely forgiven, covered by the blood of the Lamb. He sees us redeemed and justified and His chosen adopted children. And Paul spends three chapters trying to teach us how God sees us. And chapter 4 and 5 is knowing that, what is our response? And Paul says we will be people that are no longer controlled by sin, but we'll be controlled by our identity in Christ. That we take off the old self and we put on the new self. And that's pretty easy to do, isn't it? No matter what the world throws our way, we don't fall into temptation, do we? Or do you still struggle? But the last several chapters, the last two chapters, especially if you're thinking, you know what, I agree with everything that Paul is saying, that we have to be a people that live this way. We're called to be a people that live this way. To be people of the truth. To be people that forgive. To be a people that does not sin in our anger, but are quick to listen. To be a people that are generous. To not be sexually immoral. If we're being honest and we step back and we look at everything that God is calling us to do through these last two chapters, to obey everything that He calls us to obey, everything that He asks us to do. If you're being honest, we're probably asking the same question. How in the world can I fight day after day, year after year, these temptations that have plagued me? If you find yourself saying, I have tried every which way and I'm still struggling. I had this image as I was writing this message of being in a little dinghy on the water, a little bitty boat, and one little leak pops up. You see a little bit of water gathering by your feet. You think, oh, this isn't a big deal. I can fix this. You get out and you start patching the hole and you patch it well and you get the water up. And as soon as that water's up, you get a little bit bigger leak over here. And in the middle of repairing that, another leak and then another leak. And you're trying to repair all these leaks that are coming up. And all of a sudden, the first one that you repaired is bigger than it was before. And you're thinking, what is going on? I'm drowning. Some days it feels like we're taking one step forward and two step back. Not only does Paul call us to stop sinning, but to repent. To turn from the sin and replace it with the fruits of goodness, righteousness, and truth is what Paul says. And this is overwhelming. How can we do this? How can we obey? How can we live the life that Christ calls us to live? Have you ever wanted to give up because you feel like you're not even close? Paul has only spent two chapters two chapters telling us things that we can do and shouldn't be doing. And it's already overwhelming. And here's where Paul hits the pause button. And instead of just saying, this is the way we should live, this is the way we shouldn't live, he hits the pause button and he's going to show us how we do that. We spent the majority of the service 2 weeks ago, the week before Easter, talking about the Holy Spirit. We talked about what the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit is not and what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We read out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, and I'm going to summarize a lot what we did last 2 weeks because we're getting into music here in just a second, and we have to continue on with being full of the Holy Spirit as we get into this. We read, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Not only did we read that verse, but we read the verse that almost parallels this one. It's almost word for word the same. If we read Ephesians 5, 19 through 20, we see that the fruit or the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is this song, singing to one another and singing to the Lord. But if we look at its parallel verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, you don't have to turn there, they'll put it up on the screens. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." You see how similar these two verses are? Ephesians, the result of us being filled with the Holy Spirit, was all these things that we read. But in Colossians, it shows us the exact same results, but it's the result of letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's the exact same fruits. So we can ask ourselves, how do we become full of the Holy Spirit? By looking at its parallel verse, by allowing yourself, by allowing the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly. The two go hand in hand. Studying and obeying God's Word is a fertile ground for the Holy Spirit. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, like this verse calls us to be? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. We talked in detail about that 2 weeks ago. Being full of the Holy Spirit and letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly absolutely works together. Does anybody come from a conservative Christian background? I know I do. A lot of us do. And the Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity we try to avoid. We've spent less time teaching about. We try not to focus on it as much. But why? The Holy Spirit is God. As much part of the Trinity as God the Father and God the Son. One of the problems that we see is the abuses of the Holy Spirit. So it worries some people. But when we remove a piece of the Trinity, we remove who God is, and our understanding of God is way too small. I'll tell you some things I know the Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit is not just an emotional high that leads to chaos. But it's an awakening, an awareness to the truth. Jesus said that he was leaving behind the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's primary role was to teach us about the truth and the teachings of Jesus Christ. It was to point us to live our lives the same that Jesus lived his. And the fruit of that, we know the fruits of the Holy Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And so when we are being controlled by the Holy Spirit, when we are full of the Holy Spirit, that is what it produces. not chaos. Going to God's Word and letting it dwell in you richly, that is what allows us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Reading His Word, saying, God, give me the power that You gave such and such in the Bible to live like that. And the more that we can obey God, and the more that we can live like Christ, the fuller the Holy Spirit we get. And it's cyclical. The fuller we get, the more we can obey. And there's this cycle that the Bible calls sanctification. It's this understanding that as I am maturing in my faith, I am becoming more and more like Christ. Are we always filled with the Holy Spirit? We always have the Spirit in me, but I can tell you there are days that I've walked through these doors where I was not filled with the Holy Spirit. God, how can I obey? We can't. Just these two chapters in Ephesians. You and I do not have the power to obey those two chapters. Just two chapters out of the Bible. But that's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. It's no coincidence that time and time again, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Helper. You can't fight sin and temptation on your own. Has anybody proven that to yourself? You can't live in obedience without the Holy Spirit, without the Helper. And the amazing thing, one of the amazing things about the Holy Spirit is God is no longer distant. God no longer speaks through burning bushes or pillars of fire. And we can do more than just read through the Gospels and see the way that Christ lived. Christ said He left behind the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. And to think how distant God was in the Old Testament. People, all they wanted to do was get as close to God as they could. And now God says, I have a plan, and the plan is to leave the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's what we covered 2 weeks ago. And I hope you don't get tired of hearing about the Holy Spirit. We have to not be uncomfortable hearing about the Holy Spirit because we need Him. Jesus left us a helper for a reason. And we have to crave the Holy Spirit. And He's here for us. And it's as simple as by allowing the Word of Christ to dwell richly in us. Anybody here good at memorizing Scripture? Eddie is. Some of us are not. I have a hard time remembering phone numbers. Remembering a verse, I can remember concepts, I can remember verses that I've read several times, but the address to me is tough. You know, for me, some reason, numbers just are scrambled in my brain. I have difficulty remembering where certain passages are. But I can't tell you the amount of times that I have needed the Word of God. In a situation where I didn't know what to do, and the living Word came to me. Sometimes it's in counseling, when somebody's going through something and I have no words for them, God gives me His living Word and reminds me of a verse or reminds me of a passage or of an idea through Scripture, and I'm filled with the Spirit because I have that Word that's within me. God's Word pops up all the time. Sometimes I need the Word to make a difficult decision in my life or to guide me where I need to go. And as we read through the book of Ephesians, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul shows us the first thing that happens after being full of the Holy Spirit is something that I didn't see coming. But it says when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the first thing that he talks about happens afterward is song. That song happens. 2 weeks ago, I gave you homework. I see the panic in some of your faces. It's almost like you're back in high school and the teacher says, okay, remember today's test day, and you're thinking, oh man. 2 weeks ago, I asked the question, why do we sing in church? Why do we sing in church? I mean, singing almost is automatically divisive. We've got different generations that enjoy different musics, different styles, different ways, and we all got to have the songs that somebody else chose, and we all got to like it, right? How many parents have told their kids, the music that you guys are listening to is just garbage now, right? From generation to generation to generation, we've all heard that. I see parents looking at their kids and kids looking at their parents and smiling. I want you to take everything that you know about church out of your brain for just a second. Try to take everything. You've never been to church. You've never experienced church in your entire life. You know it has something to do with God. And somebody invites you to church for the first time. And you walk through the doors. And the very first thing that happens before announcements happens, before anything happens, you see grown men and women standing, raising their hands, singing off key, clapping off key, and you're thinking, what in the world is going on here? Maybe we can understand teaching, we can understand digging into the Bible, but why singing? Verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to one another. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says being filled with the Spirit. He calls us to be filled with the Spirit. And the first thing that happens is we sing. When we are filled with the Spirit, song follows. Think about it. When you read through Old Testament and New Testament, when it talks about heaven, what is always happening? I mean, there is constant singing going on in heaven. When Jesus came, it seemed like there was constant song. Sometimes God's people, all they can say is "Alleluia." Constantly, that's what we read about in heaven. Angels are always singing and being filled with the Spirit and singing. We just read is not just to the Lord, but to one another. Let's read that verse one more time. I want you to look at it maybe in a different way than you've ever thought. It says, instead, be filled with the Spirit, verse 19, speaking to who? To one another. Speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Paul is saying one of the ways to be full of the Holy Spirit is to sing with the body of Christ. And I've seen this as truth. That's why I always look forward to coming Sundays and worshiping with you. And this morning I was overwhelmed with the songs that we sang. And I know it was because of the passing of Laura. I can only imagine hit me hard about standing in God's presence. I don't know if I'll be dancing or kneeling. And all we can do is picture that's what Laura's doing. You know, and just the emotions that came with that. And then there was a song after that, and I was thinking, oh, thank God that I don't have to go up right after. I can only imagine because I'm not going to be able to speak. And then the next song's about standing in God's presence and knowing that Laura has been healed and she's in the presence of God and dancing and singing and running and playing. It was... There are those Sundays that were overwhelmed by song. All we can do is sing. And there are those songs. And you know the ones that I'm talking about. The ones that take you to a different place. Sometimes there are mother's favorite hymn. Sometimes it's a song that brings us back to our childhood where it just seems like there's this connection between you and God. I want you to know when you enter the doors of the church, you don't sing only for God, and you don't sing only for your benefit. For those that say, I just don't like music, I don't like to sing, When you sing, you're singing to one another, if you understand what Paul is saying here. You sing because of the person next to you. You don't know that the person next to you may be going through marital hell. You don't know if the person in front of you got bad news about health this week. You don't know if the person behind you is fighting the fight of sin and really struggling through it. When you are singing to others around you so that they can be filled with the Spirit that you're singing out of. It happened yesterday. There was a grieving family here at a celebration of life service. And we sang Amazing Grace. And you could feel the peace come over the family. We sang probably my favorite song ever written, It Is Well. Most of you guys know the story behind the song, It Is Well. The writer lost his daughter to scarlet fever. His house in Chicago was consumed in the great fire in Chicago. He decided he was going to later take his family on vacation to Europe. And he was held back at work and went ahead and sent his family, his wife and his four daughters, on a ship ahead of him. And we know that the ship had a wreck, had another ship run into it, and it sank. And 226 people lost their life on that ship, including his four daughters. His wife was the only survivor of his family. And when he got on the next boat to Europe to go see her, he asked the captain to show the spot where the ship went down. And he wrote this song. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. For me, be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pain shall be mine. For in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. And the Lord haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds will be rolled back as a scroll, and the trumpet shall sound as the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. And a grieving family, having brothers and sisters that have loved them, have prayed for them, singing that song gives them peace that no words could ever give them. Yesterday, as I left from the service, I had this song stuck in my head. You give and you take away. God, you give and you take away. But my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Imagine singing that and the person to the right of you needs to hear those words. Sometimes they can't be singing it themselves because they are in the middle of something horrific, but they see your heart, they see the way that you are singing it, and they are impacted because of that, because of the spirit that you're singing from. You sing so that they can have strength. And to be reminded of the love that the Lord has for them. And in doing so, without us even knowing, we are bearing one another's burdens. Paul says, address one another with songs so that others around you can be filled with the Spirit. And I was proud of the church yesterday because that happened. It brought peace where peace needed to be. Another aspect is singing with a family, singing with a body of believers, is that when we sing for the Lord, there is no greater way to be filled with the Spirit than through the Word and through song. Have you ever walked through the doors? Is it just me? But have you ever walked into church not filled with the Spirit, feeling like you had a bad week, you've had a bad month, you've had a bad year, and you just walk in here and you fought with your kids on the way here. You got in a heated discussion with your wife. UT lost the football game last night. The Cowboys are playing afterwards and you're just focused on everything but church. Because it wouldn't hurt you. And you come into church, and for me, it's been Gracie. I sit up front, and when Gracie's here, she sits behind me. And all of a sudden, my week goes away. Because I hear Gracie giving her best to the Lord. And it focuses me, and it reminds me where my focus should be. It reminds me that I've got to leave those things at the door. That's what song does. Those days that you just can't get into it. We sing out of obedience. I know I don't always sing out of the overflow. There are days, absolutely, but there are times where I come in here and I'm not singing out of the overflow. I'm singing out of obedience, and God absolutely blesses that. Last thing. Verse 20 says, always giving thanks. We sing always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we sang today, and again, it's the songs that we sing, and that we sing it with our family, that we sing it with one another. It reminds us where we're going. You know, as we lost two loved ones this week, it reminds us that there is a day that we're going to get to spend eternity with them. And that's overwhelming. It's overwhelming to sing about what is going to happen for our eternity. That we're here just like that. I think some of us have been here longer than others on this earth for longer than others. One thing I have learned, it doesn't matter if you're in your 90s or if you're out of high school, because sometimes before high school things go slow. But if you're out of high school or in your 90s, time flies. It absolutely flies. But knowing that we get to spend eternity with one another, oh, there's so much joy and blessing behind that. And we sing thankful songs to Him, thanking Him for who He is and what He has done and the way that He sees us. We can come in empty and be filled when we leave. And that's why I love this church. This idea that when we sing, it's not just for ourselves, that it's not just for God, but it's for the family. So next time you come in here and sing, remember that it's to the person to the left. It's to the person to the right, in front of you, behind you, that is could be in a place where your singing, your song brings them and helps them bear their burden. If you've been coming to church and you've never accepted Christ, there's nothing more important that I'd like to talk to you about. If you've been coming here, and I know that there are a couple that would like to join the church, if you'd like to come forward this morning, and as we've talked about family and singing together, if you'd like to join our church this morning as we sing, I think, my favorite song, if you want to come forward and join the church, that would be the time to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you for song. We thank you that we can sing about imagining a time where we get to spend face to face with you. A place where there's no more suffering, no more evil, no more sin. And God, we're also thankful that we get to sing songs about what you have done for us. That our sins we bear no more, God, because of what Christ has done on the cross. And we are so thankful, God. Lord, if there's anybody here today that has not decided to follow you as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you speak to them today. And for anybody that is here to join our family this morning, God, I pray that you bless them. Lord, I pray that you bless this family as we try to bear one another's burdens, as we try to love one another as we're loving each other through you. And it's because of your Son's name we get to pray this. Amen.